My guest at this time is former South Carolina Congressman Bob Inglis, a Republican who served six terms in the U.S. House of Representatives. He is now working with the Republican Leadership Network and the American Action Forum in order to promote what he calls conservative ideas for energy innovation and independence. And Congressman, it's great to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
You said the important thing here is to set the right conditions for American innovation that will improve our national security, as well as allow us to move forward towards cleaner technologies. What are the conditions that we need to set in place?
Well, the main thing is to make sure that all the costs are in on all the competing fuels. Right now, what we have is this unfair competition between the new fuels and the old fuels. The old fuels, being mostly petroleum and coal, have all these hidden costs to them that aren't attached to them. And if they were attached, then the free enterprise system could deliver a solution, because then we'd have a fair competition. The new fuels would actually be able to beat those old fuels. And when I'm talking about these hidden costs, in the case of petroleum, for example, it's the national security cost of hanging out there in dependence on a region of the world that just doesn't like us very much. It's also the direct defense cost of protecting the supply line of that product that we just have to have. If those things were attached to it, attached to petroleum, then we'd be able to see these new fuels taking it, in other words, beating them in the competition and delivering the new and better fuels.
One of the things we saw in the President's State of the Union message was a focus on promoting renewable energies, and he obviously talked about investing a lot towards that. You have said that you want basically the government to kind of clear out here and let the free enterprise system work. So how does the President channeling taxpayer dollars in this direction impact this effort?
Well, as a conservative, I'm not so big on the government doing subsidies and grants and regulations. Those are heavy-handed, big government approaches. Now, to some extent, they may help us some, but the more elegant solution, the thing that will really drive this, is if the free enterprise system has all the cost in on all the fuels, and then there's this fair competition, then what will happen is, for example, in the case of nuclear, we'll be building nuclear power plants. Right now, the problem with nuclear, we conservatives used to blame it all on the environmentalists. Well, George W. Bush fixed that with a single permit process now. So it's no longer that is the problem. The problem is the coal-fired electricity is cheaper because coal doesn't have to account for the small particulates that they belch out of their smokestacks 24/7. But if you go to the hospitals and check in with the pulmonologist, they'll tell you that people are being admitted to these hospitals because of those small particulates in coal. If you attach that to coal, then the true cost would be seen. And in a fair competition, we'd be building nuclear power plants, which, by the way, have no emissions. Now, we've got a nuclear waste problem, and there are trade-offs in life, but no emissions. That's the kind of competition I'm talking about that has the free enterprise system delivering the elegant solution. The president's talking about larger government kind of approaches. They may help a little bit, but the thing that's really going to unleash the power of free enterprise is getting all the cost in and all the fuels.
So you have proposed a charge on oil, coal, and gas companies to make them accountable, as you say, for all of their hidden costs, national security and otherwise. You certainly have those involved in this debate who would disagree with that, saying that right now we know that renewable energies and alternative sources, at least they claim, can't provide the amount of energy that we need that is currently supplied by coal and natural gas and petroleum. And if you then put huge charges on that, those charges will then just get passed along to consumers. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, now you're on to something very important, the second part of this, which is you can't stop there, which is just putting the cost on the on petroleum and coal and having all those hidden costs attached. That's step one. Step two is to rebate any money that's collected in the form of taxes on those products to attach those costs. Rebate that to the consumer. It could be in the form of a tax reduction on payroll taxes, FICA taxes. It could be in the form of an income tax reduction, or it can be in the form of a dividend check that goes out to the consumers. Because as a conservative, I very much believe that we don't want to grow the size of government here. If we're talking about attaching these costs, and that's an important role of government, then any money collected needs to be rebated or returned to the taxpayer, so that then the consumer has money in their pocket to go buy the innovation that's going to deliver growth in our economy. So it really is a fabulous opportunity, not just to clean up the air, that's important, not just to do national security, that's vitally important, but it's also a way of creating jobs, because if those consumers have cash in their pockets, they can go out and buy that new innovative technology.
We're talking with former South Carolina Congressman Bob Inglis. And, sir, you also talk about the triple play on energy, national security, creating jobs, and cleaning the air. What technologies do you believe are most in line to actually get us there?
Well, in the case of electricity, I think it's nuclear in the short term. Longer term, we hope for breakthroughs in solar. And surely wind can work in a lot of places, particularly offshore wind. So those will replace the nasty coal burning. And then in the case of petroleum, what I'd love to see is first electricity. We're already moving toward that in the Volt and the Leaf and cars that will run on electricity. Of course, that means we'll need more electrical generation, which means those nuclear power plants and wind and ultimately solar and things like that. But in the case of transportation fuels, it starts perhaps with electricity in some. It also involves natural gas, which is a much cleaner fuel than coal, and ultimately may move to exciting things like hydrogen, where the only emission from your tailpipe would be water.
And Congressman, you've described this as a conservative outline. There's one sentence you've said here that I think some of your conservative brethren would at least debate you on, and that's this: climate change is occurring, is caused largely by human activities, and poses significant risks. You also were opposed to the cap and trade bill last year, but even with all the bells and whistles in that bill, the idea was to reduce the average earthly temperature by about half a degree over 40 to 50 years. Explain why you believe, as a conservative, that climate change is, as the left side of the aisle would say, more than the right side of the aisle, and how much humans can reverse what's been done.
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to poo-poo climate change. I said it was a figment of Al Gore's imagination. That's my first time in Congress. And the second time around, I was on the Science Committee and had an opportunity to travel to Antarctica to visit with the money. We spend about $340 million a year on the polar programs. And so we went down there, saw the evidence, saw the readings of CO2 levels in the atmosphere over time. And what you see is a clear uptick. I'm not a scientist. I used to play one on Science Committee. But it just makes sense. If you have stuff that was growing, trees and plants and animals, eons ago, that then got turned into coal and petroleum under temperature and pressure deep in the earth, and that's been gone from this atmosphere for eons, if you dig it up and burn it, it only makes sense that you're going to affect the chemistry of the air. Even the folks that dispute that part of it don't dispute this, that when you change that chemistry of the air, you are changing the reception of heat from the sun and the outflow of heat from radiated out from the earth. And so there's no disagreement about that. The only disagreement is whether we humans could possibly affect the big scheme of things. So what I say to folks is, you know, it's like this. A lot of doctors would tell you it's just genes that are going to determine your longevity. But doctor, would it hurt me to diet and exercise? Well, if you can diet and exercise safely, go ahead and do it. And in the case of alternative energy, if you can do it safely without hurting your economy, without plussing up the budget, if you can improve your national security and create jobs, and in the meantime clean up the air, might not matter. Maybe the folks that say climate change isn't happening are correct. Might not matter. But if you can get those other two things, why not go for it? And if it happens that you clean up the air, great.
You also say, sir, and we just have about 90 seconds left here with former Congressman Bob Inglis, that there are clearly conservative energy solutions rooted in careful conservative thinking, and then there's populist poppycock that won't stand the test of time. What ideas out there do you consider populist poppycock?
Well, this total rejection of science, I think, is populist poppycock. In other words, it's just nonsense to reject science. We got people talking heads that slept at Holiday Inn Express last night and apparently think they're now experts on climate. And so they go around saying things that sound good, and particularly in a down economy where people are worried about their next paycheck, their next mortgage payment, they're not so much worried about the next generation's air supply. It works politically, and it works selling soap on hot microphones on talk TV and talk radio. But let's think about it. We're conservatives, or I'm a conservative, and I believe in science. I believe in using credible information and acting on that, not in dispensing with these people with great credentials and going with people with slept at Holiday Inn Express last night.
Congressman, it's definitely a huge debate. The president made it the priority of his speech, and we'll see what action Congress and others take in the weeks and months ahead. Thank you very much for your time and your insight today.
Great to be with you, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Former South Carolina Congressman Bob Inglis. He is now working with the Republican Leadership Network and the American Action Forum.